Hello and welcome to the Veeam Community Podcast. I'm your host, Rick Vanover. This is episode 103, vCloud Air, Explain It To Me. Here we go. Today my guest is David Hill. How you doing, David?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. Yourself?
Hey, I'm doing good, David. I won't lie. I almost said vCloud Hybrid Service. That was why I stumbled a little bit. So our topic is vCloud Air, and I don't think there's anyone else in the world that would be better for the 101 than you. So and more. You can do, of course, a much more advanced topic. So at the starting point, Dave, tell us about yourself.
Yeah, so first of all, every time you say vCloud Hybrid Service, Rick, you've got to donate $5 to charity just to keep you on your toes. So yeah, I'm David Hill. I'm a senior technical marketing architect working for the cloud services business unit at VMware. I've been with the company, it'll be 5 years in 2015, and worked on a number of projects at VMware, mainly originally in a team called the Cloud Practice, which was set up to go out and deliver this product you might have heard of called vCloud Director. And then I've kind of moved on as that's grown and we've built out cloud practices within the business. And now I'm doing technical marketing for vCloud Air, which is really cool, to be honest. It's really, really interesting.
Yes, it is. I've been playing with it for quite a bit. And I'm working on a secret project, not a secret, but a project here at Veeam around vCloud Air. So I can tell the listeners that, you know, vCloud Air is definitely a cloud platform to be reckoned with. And I'm liking what I'm seeing is a short answer. So David, now, you know, you mentioned vCloud Director. And
yeah.
correct me if I'm wrong, but a lot of times when I start talking to people about cloud platforms of any type, they're like, well, even though I don't, if I'm a customer of a cloud platform, I don't know what's going on under the hood. But am I right that vCloud Director and then vSphere and ESXi, that's really what makes up vCloud Air, is that right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So the way we look at it is VMware has been talking about the software-defined data center for a number of years now. And what VMware has done with vCloud Air is essentially built the software-defined data center and provided it out to our customers. So it's the software-defined data center for rent. So we leverage vSphere, we leverage vCloud Director, we leverage vCloud networking and security, so things like the edge gateways. And then moving forward into next year, we're upgrading all our data centers and we'll be upgrading all vCloud networking and security to NSX. So it is everything that we talk about at VMworld and all the presentations and everything that our customers are doing in their own data centers, we do exactly the same in our data centers, and then we just rent it out to our customers.
Oh, that's interesting. And the one, I guess, really interesting bit is, correct me if I'm wrong, is that there's a good way for truly blending like a hybrid cloud approach in the same management tools and all. Is that kind of something that people can very easily get to?
Yeah, so when you think about cloud services, a number of businesses, and there's lots of cloud providers out there, ranging from big bookstores through to very small niche service providers. And when you think about public clouds, it's literally a lot of public clouds take the aspects of they want everybody to just move all their workloads to the public cloud and be done with it. Now, as VMware's traditional marketplace is enterprises and small and medium businesses, what we discovered when we were talking to customers was realistically customers don't want to just pick all their workloads up, move it to a public cloud, and then throw all their infrastructure away. You know, they've invested heavily in staff, in hardware, in procedures and policies and data centers. So they're not about to just throw that all away. So vCloud Air, which was formerly called the vCloud Hybrid Service, essentially the whole purpose of the public cloud from VMware's perspective is to help customers utilize the public cloud, but still be able to run and manage and maintain that on-premises infrastructure. So they can get the best of both worlds. They can keep their infrastructure on-premises for when they want to keep databases and things in-house. But then if they've got specific projects that they need some of the benefits of cloud, things like agility and being able to get to market faster, they can leverage vCloud Air and seamlessly integrate between the two environments. So it really is, when you think about the hybrid model, rather than just having two environments, the reason why we call it hybrid is because it's essentially two entities, but they work together as one platform.
So you said the prior name, does that offset my required $5 donation to charity now? So, no, just teasing. So, and I feel you, especially when you have what I call burst workloads, which are things that come up that you might not have the infrastructure for, and a lot of times they're big. I think cloud platforms absolutely are excellent for that. Now, I want to talk about, I got a question, actually, and this is partly my own need for knowledge, but also I mentioned earlier I'm working on some Veeam stuff with vCloud Air, and there's one particular technology that vCloud Air has, so much so that I've been using it and it's going really well, and I actually cannot measure a bottleneck. So David, can you tell me about the SSD accelerated storage option within vCloud Air?
Yeah, so within vCloud Air, we have two types of storage offering today. We have standard storage and SSD accelerated. So the names are pretty obvious, to be honest. Standard storage is just spindle disks that are provided to you as a pool of storage available for you to consume. And then SSD accelerated is SSD cache storage. So what we do is we provide these two tiers and allow our consumers to either put VMDKs on one, or they can actually put separate VMDKs on both types of storage. So if you think about things like database servers, you could have your OS disk on standard storage, which in all honesty is pretty cheap. And then for your more high performance workload, you can put that VMDK on SSD accelerated. So SSD accelerated is the high performance storage tier. And what's really cool with it is because the read and write are all cached on SSD, we get really good performance from it. So when you're doing a lot of regular reads and writes of the same data, it's all just straight off the SSD. So you're not having to do any reads off the kind of slower spindle disks. So we've been seeing really, really good benchmarks on that. And as you say, Rick, you've seen some great performance on that. And a bit of a shameless plug to some blog articles, but on the VMware blogs.vmware.com/vCloud, we actually have some performance benchmarks there, and we're all very pleased with the speeds that we get from that storage, because it is really, really quick, to be honest.
Well, I think it's excellent to check out those blogs for the listeners. And, you know, what I've been doing is very much a single application specific approach, and that's where I'm not, you know, finding a bottleneck, which is blowing my mind, so much so that this is, again, a Veeam example, but whenever the bottleneck analysis goes, and those of the listeners who use Veeam know this, it always has to blame somebody, all right? So whoever is most frequently the bottleneck gets the label. But then there's also a percentage of time. I can never get the SSD accelerated. But one thing you caught me, David, is you said read and write, because I had kind of just assumed it's based on vSphere Flash read cache, but you also said write. So is it something a little bit more advanced than what I think of with vSphere Flash read cache?
Yeah, so without going into the specifics of our architecture, we actually, it's SSD, I forget my words out, SSD caching on the arrays. So
okay.
You get a lot better performance because obviously the read and the write, if it's regular read and write, then it lives on the cache on the SSD. If it's not so regular, then it gets moved off that cache to the spindle disks. So if you're going back and pulling out a file, for example, that you stored in a server 2 years ago, then it's got to go pull that off the disks. But if it's the same thing that you're constantly doing from a transactional basis, then it's all on the actual SSD cache, so the performance is a lot higher.
Oh, you just made my day, David, because I had just in my head assumed it was the flash read cache. But now, I mean, not that I don't like flash read cache, it's just that it kind of only helped me half of the way for the I.O. profile. But yes, the use case that I'm working on with Veeam is very much read intensive, so it was already great, but you just totally made my day with the writes coming through. Well, that's excellent stuff. So I think, David, the next question I have, though, I don't want to say how much does it cost, but how is it costed? So, you know, when some people, a lot of times they want to think about these new technologies, they just want a high-level idea of, you know, is it sold strictly as storage and compute? And then, you know, for the two storages we talked about, of course, they'd be priced differently. Is it a subscription? Is it a long-term commitment? Is it take my credit card and run? How do, you know, customers, end users, really go down the money side of getting started?
Okay, so the really quick answer is it's all of those that you've just said. But to go on a bit of details, we initially started out with a subscription-based cloud. So to go at a very high level, from a subscription basis, you can buy it 1 month, 3 months, 6 months, 12 months, 5 years, whatever you want to do. And we basically have two flavors of cloud. So we have a dedicated cloud and a virtual private cloud. Now, virtual private cloud is a logically isolated environment where you're given guaranteed resources. So you'll go and buy a bundle of compute and storage, and then if you need more, you can purchase more of what you need. So to start with a VPC, you get 20 gig of RAM and 5 gigahertz of vCPU, which you can actually burst up to 10 gigahertz, and you get 2 terabytes of storage. You can then, if you need more compute, you can buy more compute, or if you need more storage, you can buy more storage. Our dedicated cloud offering is essentially, it's a private cloud. It's physically isolated, it's your own host, your own management stack, and you buy that in minimum bundles of 120 gig of RAM, 30 gigahertz of CPU, and the storage starts at 6 terabytes. Now, what's really cool about a dedicated cloud is you can oversubscribe that. So using reservations and limits within vSphere, we provide that capabilities up through to our cloud layer. So you can buy like 120 gig of RAM and 30 gigahertz of vCPU, but if you turn reservations and limits off, there's nothing stopping you from powering on, say, like 240 gigs worth of RAM configured in your VMs. So you can squeeze a lot out of those capabilities. We also are currently in what we call early access program for our virtual private cloud on-demand service, which is essentially our pay-as-you-go credit card service, which is GA-ing in 2015. So that's billed by the minute. So you essentially, you log in, you create an account, you put your credit cards in, you spin some VMs up, you blow those VMs away, and at the end of the month, you're billed for the minutes of compute and storage that VM was used for. So we have a number of options from a cloud perspective. I think for businesses who are doing dedicated projects, then subscription models are the way to go. Because if you think from a business perspective, it allows them to budget, so they can go and buy capacity for 6 months, use that capacity, and then at the end of the 6 months, it just goes away, so they've paid for it. Whereas the pay-as-you-go model is more for your seasonal workloads or your workloads that you need to spin up quickly. So think of toy shops that Christmas is coming. They suddenly get overloaded on our websites because they've got this really cool offer out. They just quickly log in, put their Amex details in, or Visa or MasterCard, because we don't care, and spin up some web servers and just cover the load that they need while their offer's running, and then January 1st comes, they just blow them all away, and they just get billed for the per-minute cycles they've used. So, number of options there.
Well, that my mind has melted, Dave, in a good way, because one of my objections that I've, you know, had over the years, every time I get these new ideas, is, okay, you know, I love the idea of, you know, capacity on demand and all, and, you know, not having to worry about managing a data center and stuff. But the fact, when I go to ask for approval, you know, they're going to ask me how much does it cost, and I'm, you know, I can't just tell them it depends. But you've got both ends, right? You've got the, you know, strict pay as you use, and then you've got kind of the term volume commitment. I think that's a brilliant approach to the cloud platforms. And correct me if I'm wrong, I think you guys are the only ones that have that kind of, you could go either way, speaking into the on-demand, into the future when that's, you know, fully available. I think that you're the only one that works that way.
Yeah, I believe so. There's probably other providers out there who can do subscription-based. But the key thing about subscription-based is, if you think about the majority of VMware customers, then they're very used to raising purchase orders and having specific amounts that they spend over a particular year throughout their budget. So, as you say, having that, well, I'm just going to put my Amex card in there and see what I get paid at the end of the month, what bill I got to pay. From a budgeting perspective, that's quite challenging. So the whole subscription base is really, really good for businesses who work like that, certainly from project-based businesses, because they can look at how much resources they need over the term of the project, calculate it accordingly, and then they know exactly what their cost is. So it gives them a lot of flexibility from how they want to do this. Mm-hmm. But then, of course, there's people out there who just want one VM. So if you want one VM that's going to run, say, like two vCPUs and 2 gig of RAM, you're not going to want to pay for a big chunk of capacity over 6 months when you're only going to leverage this infrequently and a small amount. So it's the best of both worlds. We can offer pretty much everything that a customer needs from that perspective.
Speaking of that, I'm looking at the map of vCloud Air locations, and it's quite impressive. So as it is today, we've got Northern California, Nevada, Texas, Virginia, New Jersey, and the States, Japan West, UK, available in Asia, Europe, and then Germany, Sydney, or I should say Australia South, more like Melbourne, coming soon. And then There are two Gov Virginia, Gov Arizona. Are those like dedicated vCloud Air sites for government use?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So we have what's called the vCloud Government Service, and these are a number of clouds that we've put together that are certified against the FedRAMP certification. So as you can tell by my accent, I'm no U.S. citizen, so I don't know a huge amount about the U.S. government requirements, but they have particular certifications and requirements that are needed to be met. So we also offer the cloud services that are specially designed to meet those requirements. So we're also working on getting G-Cloud certification, which is the UK's equivalent, which is government cloud. So we're currently working on that certification, so we'll be able to offer services to the UK government. And then, as you said, we're launching in Australia and Germany in 2015 as well, which is really critical for the marketplaces, certainly in Europe, because a lot of people are concerned about, since Snowden and the NSA spying on them, having data centers in those regional locations is really preferred for our customers. Outside of the US, everybody does care. It seems that a lot of people in the US are like, yeah, whatever, they knew that the NSA was spying on them anyway. But since the whole Snowden effect, then people around the world are very concerned about what the US government can and can't do. So,
mm-hmm. Oh, I know, and I would be as well. And One last question on the two gov sites. Are they, so general customers, I take it, are not allowed to select those as eligible locations then?
That's correct, yeah. They're purely for federal government services.
Hey, that's I had no clue it was that big. And I take it that these are like, you know, really advanced, full enterprise, you know, awesome sauce data centers. Is that right?
Yeah, so all our data centers, they're all kind of fully built. We have all the operations and procedures in place that you would expect from an enterprise mm-hmm. service provider. We essentially sell an SLA. So what some customers are like, well, they always ask, what hardware are you running? What network switches are you running? What's your storage array? Is that kind of thing? Well, we don't give that information away because there's two reasons. One, it's always open for change. And two, some of it's VMware's secret sauce that we've developed for our own cloud platform. So when a customer buys capacity in vCloud Air, what they're essentially buying is an SLA. So they're buying an uptime. They're buying capacity and resources on an uptime on an SLA. So they get that reassurance that we will meet that SLA. We also, to be able to meet that SLA, have to make sure that our operations and procedures stand up. So we're fully certified with like ISO 27001, and we follow ITIL guidelines and all those kind of things. So it is essentially, as I said earlier, and the software-defined data center for rent, exactly how customers would expect it to be implemented in their data centers, we have implemented it in our data centers.
So now, kind of a funny question. What if I, you know, went with the virtual private cloud, right, which is the fully abstracted resources, and what if I uninstalled VMware tools from all of my VMs? Would that just throw a wrench in everything you guys do?
No. So we all know how VMware tools work. So if you uninstalled it, we would pretty much recommend you reinstall it mm-hmm. Because everything runs on vSphere and VMware tools do provide some added capabilities. But yeah, if you uninstall it all, it's not just going to fall in a big heap. But we would be notified that there's no VMware tools running in these workloads, and I would imagine that ops would send you a polite email just reminding you you need to install it. So
yeah, no, I'm keeping it light. Well, hey, David, this has been an outstanding conversation, and I know that you and I talk a lot, you know, in our roles. You know, your role at VMware and my role at Veeam, we talk a lot about vCloud Air. And for the listeners, stay tuned. We've together got some good stuff coming. David, where can we find you on Twitter and the blogosphere and the like?
Yeah, so my Twitter handle is DaveHill99, and my blog site is DavidHill.co. So there's a number of articles on there about vCloud Air and cloud in general and just vSphere-y stuff. And if anybody's got any questions or want to reach out to me, then go to my blog site, look up my email address, connect to me on LinkedIn, whatever you want to do, and I'll try and connect with you.
And David also is a very versed presenter at VMworld and on the partner circuit at partner exchange events of the type. So on the long road of virtualization, folks, definitely stop by and say hi to David. He's a great resource in the community. David, thanks for being on the podcast.
Thanks, Rick. I enjoyed it. Thank you.